blessing to see each of you this morning. And if you have your Bibles, if you'll be turning to the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. The book of Luke in the 15th chapter. And if you would, begin reading with me at verse 11. Luke 15, beginning at verse 11. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." If one ever felt like they had run out of material to preach, I believe that one could turn to the Gospel of Luke and the 15th chapter and preach from verses 11 through 24 and have a lifetime of material. Every time I read the Gospel of Luke and the 15th chapter, and I read about the individual we identify as the prodigal son, I recognize there are so many outstanding truths that need to be delivered. I'm never ashamed to go back and preach a topic that's been preached time and time again, for I recognize the Bible teaches us time and time again something we might have overlooked before. I don't know how many lessons I've delivered in regard to the younger son leaving and going into the far country. And then we've often preached about him returning and coming home to his father. And we've talked about the older brother, how the older brother did not want him to come home. And we talked about the attitude of that elder son. Then we talked about the father. And how many lessons have we delivered about the father willing to receive that son? But this morning, what I want to do is talk to you about the prayer of the prodigal son. And what I want us to stop and examine is this prayer this young man had made up in his mind, and what he started to say to his father. Then I want to take that, make application to our life, and the lesson is yours. If you take your Bible in the book of Luke and the 15th chapter, I want you to take note of a young man who comes home. And I want you to take note that he comes to his father with a plea. He comes to his father with a request. And he asked of the father, "Father, will you open your arms to a broken prodigal?" Here was a young man who became restless and wandered into the far country. He went out and lived in the land of sin. He did that which was wrong. And now he recognizes the need to come home. And he is thinking about, how will I approach my father? I have violated his will. I have spent his money. I've marred his good name. I've gone into the far country. I've lived in the filth of sin. I've spent all. And now I have lost all. I'm destitute. I'm in the pig pen. I'm a broken man. Everything I had has become unraveled. And my life is a mess. And here is a young man that begins to see he is living in the filth of sin. He had become a young man that went out and lived it up, spent all of the inheritance of his father, and now he has nothing. He is there, and you'll take note that he is in the pig pen. If you ever thought of the lowest place a young Jewish boy could be, it would be in the pig pen because pigs were unclean. And here is a young man that's broken. The world has broken him. Sin has broken him. And now he's thinking, I want to go home. At one time, home was not appealing to him. At one time, the father's rules and the father's house did not seem to have what he was looking for. But now, while he is out here in the pig pen, having lost all of his friends in the famine, he looks back and all of a sudden he thinks about his father's love. The rules of his father wasn't to do that to give him harm, but to help him. And he realized the restrictions of the father's home was to teach him and to guide him. And here was a young man that said, I want to go home. And he thinks about to his father, Father, will you open your arms to me, a broken man, a man who thought I could go out and live my own way, do my own thing, not have any regard for you, and now I recognize I cannot do such. And so he takes a risk. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, verse 17. And when you look at verse 17, notice the statement, he came to himself. You know, my friend, what that shows to me, he is a broken man. Have you ever thought that here was a man who was not living as he was raised, nor living as God intended him to live? But he had lived in sin. Sin is insanity, because sin is living contrary to what you were made for and what you were intended to be. Sin is rebellion. Sin is taking that which is holy and good and right and twisting it and perverting it and doing wrong. And here was a young man that all of a sudden saw sin lies to you. That the devil will deceive you. The devil will put before you all kinds of pictures to tell you that the world will give you happiness. The world will satisfy everything you want. And then in the pig pen, the young man comes to himself and he saw that living a life of sin does not bring joy. And notice, my friend, that young man does something in verse 18. He takes a gamble. He takes a risk. He said, I will arise. Oh, underscore that word arise. You know one thing that young man recognized? He couldn't stay in the pig pen and be reconciled to his father. He had to go back to the father. He's the one that left. He's the one that gone into the far country. He's the one that went into sin. And he couldn't stay in that position of sin and be reconciled to the father. He would have to get up. He would have to make some changes. So that young man thinks to himself, Father, would you open your arms to me, a broken man, a broken prodigal who's wasted his livelihood, who's wasted his life in sin? But then I want you to think about something else. If you take your Bible, notice he recognizes his brokenness in verse 19 when he says, I am not worthy to be called your son. You know, my friend, that's not, I don't believe, mock humility. That young man recognized what he had done to his father. And that young man says, I know I'm not worthy. I'm a broken man. Would you open your home and would you open your arms to a broken man who's no longer worthy to be you called your son? Would you just let me be a servant? Would you just let me live on the premises again? I don't understand, Father, if you have that kind of compassion for me or not. But I want you to know, Father, if you just let me come back, I would just live as a servant. I just want to be near you. Would you open your arms? Would you open your home to a broken prodigal? What a prayer of courage. Here's a young man that says, I am broken. I smell like swine. My robe is tattered. I have no sandals. I have no sonship. Will you let me come home? Though I'm not worthy. But then think about a second thing that prodigal prayed. Not only did he pray, with Father, would you open your arms to me? He prays, Father, can you forgive me though I'm not worthy? Oh, what phrase, I'm not worthy be called your son. Think about what he's saying. I've embarrassed you. I've insulted you. Now in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, notice he comes to his father and he asks his father, he says, give me my inheritance. You know what he's saying to his father? Basically, he's saying, you've lived longer than I wanted you to. You don't receive your inheritance until after the death of your parents. But what he's saying is, Daddy, I can't wait for you to die. I've got a life to live. Give me my money. What an insult. And then the young man takes the money and he goes to the far country. But now that young man has spent all that money. He's living in the mire. He's living in the pig pen. He's living in the filth. And he begins to think about home. And then when he begins to think about going home and approaching his father and asking his father to forgive him, have you ever thought how much courage it was for him first to arise and then to start walking towards his father? Each step for the prodigal had to be a step of courage. And the closer he got to home, he must have thought, how will my father respond? And when you look in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, notice if you will, verse 21. What a touching scene. In your Bible in Luke 15, notice 21, it says, and the son, after he said, or verse 20, excuse me, but he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Now we talk about the father watching for him, but I want you to think how touching that is. Here is the father looking out on the horizon. I wonder how many times a day did the father look out saying, where's my boy? Where's my son? Though he'd been insulted, though he'd been looked down upon by the son, though the son rebelled and marred his name and went out and lived contrary to everything he was taught, the father's looking for him. And notice that when he saw him, the father had compassion. And look at that phrase, he ran. Now that don't mean much to you and me, but that would mean a lot to the people of the Jewish time. Older men didn't run. It wasn't distinguished. Men at that time would wear their robes. Here's a man, he's having to hitch up his robe a little bit so he can run. It's not dignified. It would look down, be looked down upon. And someone once said, why would the father run? Perhaps the people in the village would see the son coming and he's going to bear the embarrassment so the son doesn't have. And notice he's running to a son who's unclean. The son's been in the pig swine, in the pig pen. And notice what he does. He embraces him. You ever thought about that? Here is the son who's coming home with the prayer, Father, can you open your arms to a broken prodigal? And the father's running. Father, can you forgive me though I'm not worthy? And notice that when the broken prodigal begins to recite his prayer, the father doesn't let him finish it. Look in Luke 15 chapter. Notice with me what he had already practiced to pray. In verse 18, I will go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That was what he intended to say. But look at verse 21, what he actually got to say. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He doesn't even get to ask to be called a servant. Why? The father is already turning to the servants. And notice what he's saying. Bring the best robe, put it on him. Get a ring, put it on his hand. Bring the sandals. You know what all those represent? Sonship. Slaves didn't wear shoes. Sons did. The ring would be the family signet ring to show that he was the son. The best robe would have been the father's robe. He was wearing an unclean, tattered robe. The father says, bring him my robe. Put it on. And then look at what he says. Bring the fatted calf here, kill it. I'll tell you, we always talk about the older brother not glad to see the younger son coming home. I'll tell you, who wasn't glad he came home was the fatted calf. He's going to be cooked. But notice that he comes home. And notice that here he is, and the father is representing sonship, saying, bring these things. And he never gets asked to be a servant. The father embraces him. I've often wondered, when was the last time that young man was held in the embrace and love? Not in the arms of a harlot he paid to do so, but someone who truly loved him. And there's his father, hugging, And he's saying, I've lived in the mire of iniquity. I've lived with the harlots and the sin. I'm ashamed. I do not deserve forgiveness. But, oh, Father, will you let me at least live on the prayer? But before he gets any of that out, the Father opens his arm, embraces him, kisses him, and restores him. But I want you to think about a third part of the prayer. Father, can you open your arms to a broken prodigal? The Father comes running. Father, can you forgive me though I'm not worthy? He's telling the servants, bring out the fatted calf. Bring the best robe. Bring a ring and bring sandals. Now think about a third thing. Father, can I have rest and rejoice with you? You think about that night. Now that he's restored, that young man's not going to sleep in the pig pen, but in his own bed. And that young man rejoiced, and the father rejoiced, and a party was thrown. And then I think about in verses 23 through 25, the young man looking at his father, Father, I've hurt you. I've broken your heart. Will you ever be happy with me again? And look at the words of the father. The young man felt shame and embarrassment. The young man said, Father, will you ever be able to forgive me and put this out? And look at what the father says in verse 24. This my son was dead. He was separated. And to the father, he was dead. Didn't know where he was. Didn't know what he was doing. Spiritually, he was gone. He's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. Oh, I tell you, that's a beautiful picture. I would that I had the ability to put in the arms and minds of each of us the fact that here the Father had come, the Father had restored him, and now he's asking, Father, will you ever rejoice with me again? Will you ever be glad I'm your son? And the Father says, I'm glad you're my son. But now I want you to think about a fourth part. Father, could you hold me as an unbroken man? The world's broken me, but can you accept me back and not think of me as the prodigal who left selfishly, but as the one who is whole, who's different, who's changed, who comes back to you? Can you restore me and reconcile me and forgive me? And can you ever look at me as you once did? And the Father reaches out and embraces him. I've been waiting for your return. Welcome. I want to take that. I want to make three or four thoughts for us to take home the lesson, Jesus. You know, each of us could pray the prayer of the prophet. Each of us could look up to the Father and say, Father, would you take a broken prodigal back? Many of us have come to faith in Christ. We've been immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. But some of us have begun to get restless in our faith, and we've wandered away from truth, and we're no longer at home with God. And let me tell you something, not every prodigal's in the pig pen. A lot of prodigals are in the pew. They've left God a long time ago with their faith. They're no longer living for Him. They're no longer at home with Him. They've wandered down the road of sin. They're restless. And everything has come unraveled in life. They believe the lie of the devil. And you know something, my friend? After a time of living in sin, you start to realize that this world is lying to you. There are people out there trying to numb the pain of life, and they turn to drugs, alcohol, sex, anything they can find to numb the pain of life. They're looking for something. And they don't realize that every one of us has a God-sized hole in our heart that only God can fill. They look for anything to just get through life. They don't live life, they survive life. And now the thought is, where can I find what I'm looking for? And the question is, can I come home? Would God welcome me back, though I've went out and marred His holy name, though I've lived in the filth of sin, though I've been in the pig pen, would God welcome me back? Now I'll tell you something, my friend. Some of us may not be engaged in what we deem the most immoral activities. But I'll tell you that each of us needs to be thankful of the picture that Jesus gives us of the Father. That He is a God who welcomes us back. He is a God of new beginnings. He's a God of second chances. He is a God who waits with outstretched hands for those who've left to come back. He's watching for us. He's waiting for us. In 1 Peter or 2 Peter, you remember chapter 3 and verse 9, he said, God's not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a wonderful God. A loving God, willing to take you back. And you know something, my friend? If I come with the same faith that that young man, I arise. I can't stay in sin and God take me back. I got to arise and come home. I got to change. I got to be different. But if I come, He'll forgive me. I've had some people come to me and say, preacher, you don't know what sins I've committed. You know what I tell them? Really, none of my business. That's between you and God. But there's not one sin God's power can't blot out. Don't you limit God. You may have a hard time forgiving it, but God can forgive. And you know, my friend, when I think about that, that makes me want to be a forgiving person. If you open your Bible, look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2. And when you come to Ephesians chapter 2, you'll notice with me a statement made in verse 8. In Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You ever notice the word give is in forgiveness? You can't demand someone to forgive you because forgiveness is something one has to be willing to do. Now, we understand the teaching that if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. But I want you to look at forgiveness. Forgiveness has that element. And look at what he says in verse 8. It's a gift. God's giving something to us. Grace is something we need but do not deserve. God, will you accept me? God says, I'll forgive. But then, God, will you give me rest and rejoice with me? You know, people are looking for rest. In your Ephesian letter in the second chapter, just look again there in Ephesians 2, look at what he says in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at that word sit. You know what that represents? Rest. A place of ease. I sit with Christ. If you have your Bible in the Revelation letter, you can look in the 14th chapter. And the Revelation 14, 13, he said, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You know what I look for in heaven? Rest. I have rest now because I already sit with Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But I ultimately have rest when my life is over. And I can rejoice. I can rejoice. Have you ever thought about heaven? Can you imagine heaven, the rest and the joy? When the prodigal came home, what did they do? They had a party. In Luke 15, 10, it says that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need repentance. One last thought, lesson two. The prayer of the prodigals, may I stand before you whole and unbroken. Complete. Right in your sight. You know what sin does? Sin not only breaks us, sin breaks God's heart, and it ultimately breaks ours. Open your Bible to the 147th Psalm. In the 147th Psalm, if you will, verse 3, the Scripture says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. When does He do that? When I come to Him in repentance. I'm heartbroken because of sin, but I don't want to stay heartbroken. I'm a broken man because of the world and of sin, but God can make me whole. And He says in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God can make me whole. And you know what my prayer is for everyone in this room? Because God is waiting with outstretched hands. And because Jesus stretched out His arms to welcome us, that each and every one of us look at ourselves and ask, are we at home with you? When I think about that Father watching and waiting, you know what I think about? I think about that prodigal probably wishing he had come home a little bit earlier. Some of you have lived in sin long enough. Haven't you been separated from God long enough? Isn't the world lied to you enough? Can't you see the world gives you things that won't satisfy ultimately? And haven't we lived separated from God long enough? Shouldn't we want to be reconciled to it? Can't we build our faith up? Can't we have a deeper relationship with Him? Can't we see that His desire is for us to be His children? He doesn't want us to be servants, even though that's what we are. He ultimately wants us to be sons. We are servants and sons. But I want you to take note, my friend, He loves you as a son and as a daughter. And what He wants to do is put you in His family. And the only reason you may not be there is because you've left Him. I heard a story about a young man, or an older man actually, and a wife. And the wife, sitting over where he's riding one day, and she said, "You know, Charles, when we were young, I used to sit right next to you and put my head on your shoulder when we rode around." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "We used to ride down the road and hold my hand." He said, "Yeah." She said, "I notice you don't do anything anymore. You just sit over there and I sit over here." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "But who moved? I'm still driving the car." If you're separated from God, who moved? It wasn't God. It was you. He's waiting for you to come home. Come, let's together we stand and sing.